broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned with us now for this next hour when we shall worship our Lord in song and praises and in the message. And our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the throne of grace. And we thank Thee that our high priest is there making intercession for us, praying for us, that our strength fail not. And we thank Thee, dear Heavenly Father, for such grace You give us to approach Thee through the new and the living way. Lead us and keep us through this hour. Bless Thy message as it goes out. Thank You for the past hour. Lead us and keep us through this day and the services up tonight. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. And now we'll begin our worship by singing 421, Hiding in Thee. And let's everybody sing, Hiding in Thee. Praise the Lord for this crowd here this morning. Come on. Hiding in Thee. Are you hiding in Christ? Have you found that hiding place? I hope you have. Now let's sing another song. 482, Face to Face. And let's sing as we stand this, sing this last song. Let's stand. Face to face. Last Sunday, I mentioned about Mrs. Shelton and Mrs. McNabb were going to be down on the coast, the Gulf Coast, at a book convention, and they were there with their display of books and how the Lord blessed them down there. Had a display of many good books from our bookstore. They sold many of them. People from New Orleans went down there and didn't know that we had a bookstore of good books over here. And so we've made some friends, and we can look forward to them coming to our bookstore. But it left a good impact upon the people along the coast, and I was glad of the good news and the good reports we've been hearing from it. And so we do have a good bookstore across the street from us here in this tabernacle. We give discounts on our books. It's non-profit. And they're good books that you'd like to have. And so you come and visit with us and look through the bookstore, and you might find some books there you'd be glad to get and buy. We do give, I think, around 15% reduction. And I'm glad we have it to where we can avail it to the public, to those who want good books, good sound books, across the street. And I'm thankful for those reports we've been getting from there. She's back with us now, and they're all back, Brother Mrs. Shelton and Mrs. McNabb, getting ready for the opening of school, and glad to have her back where she could be in the office with us. So we praise the Lord for the way He's working things out. Now we're glad to see this number this morning. It's a goodly number. I would, if we can walk in here one time and see all these seats filled, every one of them. People want a love for the truth, longing for the truth, longing for Christ, and see them longing, just wanting to know the truth, wanting to know Him, wanting to know Christ. And I'm sure we have many in Radio Land who are listening in. Many I don't even hear from. But that's all right. If the message is blessing your heart, and I know our late pastor has, there were thousands probably heard him he's never seen, but he will meet on the other side those who have been saved through the message, awakened and then brought to know Christ. I'm just thinking in the last couple of days, thinking about the many. Many who will be in glory in heaven who we didn't expect to see there, and many who we thought would be there we wouldn't see. Only God knows the heart. God knows those that are saved, those that know His mercy and His grace, who have become acquainted with Christ and know Him, walking with Him, adoring Him, thanking Him for such love and such mercy. Now let us turn to the second chapter, or 2 Corinthians again, and the sixth chapter. We'll continue where we left off this last Sunday morning. The sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 11th verse. O ye Corinthians, our speech to you is candid, our heart is wide open. On our part there is no constraint, but there is constraint in your affections. In fair exchange I speak as unto my children. Open wide your hearts to us. Ask God to give you an open heart. Open it wide to receive His word, the engrafted word of truth. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? And what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What words of admonition that the Apostle Paul here is writing in God's Holy Spirit. He begins there, he says, open your heart wide unto me now, and listen unto me. Receive ye the admonition, don't run from it, don't hide from it, don't excuse yourself from it. but listen, adhere it, embrace it, receive it, as one coming from, as instructions coming from a loving heart, from one who knows. And that's the Apostle Paul here writing to his children. Open your heart. Open wide your hearts unto the Word of God, unto the instructions. What concord, that 15th verse, what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believed with an infidel? There's no fellowship there, is there? With an infidel. I know after God saved me, I came across an atheist, an infidel. I saw right away that there could be no fellowship with him. Infidels. What part had he that believeth with an infidel? Now, what does Belial speak of? In scriptures, it speaks of the devil. What concord had Christ with the devil? What communion? What fellowship? He is Satan, the spirit of evil personified. Satan is not what you see pictured today. Satan is a spiritual power. Satan is a gentleman. Satan comes all dressed up like you and I do, come to worship. He mingles with every type of individual. Comes to you as an angel of light, or a roaring lion. He's still Satan, the devil. And as we pointed out last week, how he contested the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd give you all of these things if you would bow down and worship me. Jesus said, as is written in the scriptures, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Only him do you serve. Begone, Satan. Begone. The spirit of evil personified, that's Satan. Christ did not agree with Satan, nor did he work in harmony with him. He showed no sentiments whatsoever towards him, which means there's no compromise. With infidels, there's no compromise. With unbelievers and Christ rejectors, there's no compromise with those who willfully rebel against the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no compromise. There's no compromise with the world, with all of its fashions, all of its acquaintances. There is no compromise with the child of God in connection with the world, with Satan, with rebellion, with sin. There's no compromise. Our blessed Lord, he was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He associated with them, but he did not partake of their sins and of their unbelief. In fact, he rebuked them. He showed no sentiments whatsoever towards him. And the same spirit of Satan now works in the children of disobedience, as Ephesians 2:2. Once we were children of disobedience. Once we were children of disobedience, now we are children of light. Once we were darkness, now we're light in Christ. And I get all types of literature in the office on my desk. I read through them to see, to feel the heartbeat of the religious world today. And I tell you, it's amazing to what people believe today. Look at the religious movements of today. Should we join company with those who denied the verbal inspiration of the Holy Scriptures? Who are whittling it to pieces through their own interpretations? Now, why is that? Why do they deny the verbal inspiration of God, of the Holy Scriptures? And why are they trying to whittle it to pieces? It's because of the blindness of their own hearts. As 2 Peter 1:21 tells us, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, and therefore they are blinded to those Scriptures. Their hearts are blinded. Now, why is it that you won't believe the Scriptures this morning? Why is it that you won't believe the message? It's because of the blindness of your own heart. You're blinded. Blinded to the truth. Why is it that you come and go and you cannot believe? It's because of your blindness. And if God doesn't arrest you and do a work of grace in your heart and take that blindness away, you'll be so much like our religious leaders of today who are going about blinded to the truth of God's word and bringing in heresies. And that's the challenge we've been given today. That's what we have to defend today, is the truth of God's word, the verbal inspiration of God's word. And I cannot be moved away from it. I know I've had calls from someone from in the economical council across the river, asking us if we would come and attend their meetings, join in with them. I had to tell them no. I know what many of them believe in there. I'm not condemning everyone in there, but there are many in there that deny the verbal inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. And I cannot join their company. Should we join company with those who deny the verbal inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, who are whittling it to pieces through their own interpretations because of the blindness of their own hearts? Remember, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something, it's only God's Holy Spirit that's going to move your heart to believe the inspired Scriptures. And if you believe them, praise God for it, that He's moved your heart, and He's moved your will out of the way, and He's moved all of that misinterpretation out of your heart and mind, and brought you to rest upon the inspired Scriptures of God. I praise the Lord for that this morning. Should we join company with those who deny the Trinity, thereby leaving man hopeless and helpless, facing an eternal doom? Take away the Trinity, you don't have any salvation. You think about that. You deny any part of the Trinity, you don't have salvation. They all three work for our salvation. God the Father elected. God the Son died. God the Holy Spirit searched us out and taught us and brought us to Christ and revealed Christ to our hearts. That which was a mystery before our time, before Christ came, you can't do away with it. If you're saved, you're saved because of the work of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you adore all three. They do this to their own damnation. This shows they know nothing of Holy Spirit conviction. They know nothing of repentance. That's why they cry down repentance. They cry down Holy Spirit conviction. And that's the reason why we have so much decisions in churches today without God and without hope, without Christ. Kind of took me a little bit this morning listening to the pastor bring that message. He brought the little story about Christ coming to open the door of the prison house. And he had reference today of what the preachers are doing. Here's the prisoner shut in the prison cell. And he's asking that prisoner to put his hand out and shake hands with him, make a decision for Christ. But he's still in that prison house. And if that's all you have, you're still shut up in that prison house of Satan. And you don't know what it means to be delivered. Christ's salvation is a deliverance. It's a deliverance from the prison house of Satan where you shut up. So thereby they do away with Holy Spirit conviction, which is an ancient mystery. Nothing of repentance, which is a missing note, in present-day preaching. They have no knowledge of saving faith, which means they have missed Christ, the chief cornerstone. So how can we join company with him? How can you and I fellowship with people like that? Should we join company with those who deny salvation by grace and grace alone? Those who laugh and make fun of blood redemption and call imputed righteousness imputed nonsense and so forth? The apostle says, wherefore come out from among them. Open your heart wide unto me this morning and listen to God's word. Come out from among them. If that's what they practice in the church that you're going to this morning, they leave you helpless, they leave you hopeless. Come out from among them. The apostle says, wherefore come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. That which is not of faith is of sin. That which is not of Christ is of Satan. That which does not glorify the Lord Jesus Christ but glorifies man is of Satan. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That doesn't leave anyone out, does it? Come out from among them. Come unto me. Come unto me. And there's the great invitation. Come unto me. Be ye separate from them, but come unto me. Close your heart unto them, but open your heart unto me. Come unto me. Open your heart wide to receive me, Christ said. We do this honor unto our Lord to have any part with an infidel. The believer is in reality the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. He is the temple of the living God. The believer. He houses the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessed Holy Spirit. And you cannot have company with infidels and with unbelievers. The believer is in reality the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. We ought to be dedicated to the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For the promise to his redeemed is, what is it? I will dwell in them walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And you talk about a blessed life. You talk about a life filled with hope and with the promise of God's word. That's one. That's one. Remember, God is a jealous God. He's jealous. It's a holy jealousy. There can be no agreement between the temple of God and idols. God will not give his glory to another. There can be no compromise. Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He that heareth God's word, they are his. They belong to him as those that hear God's word and open their hearts. There must be a separation from the world. Ye cannot serve Christ and the world too. Now you listen. You cannot serve Christ and the world too. The born-again believer is in the world, but he's not of it. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. I don't find my satisfaction in the world. I find it in Christ. My joys are in Christ. My springs are in him. The born-again believer is in the world, but he's not of it. You cannot be of the world and belong to Christ and his church. There are many things the Christian must differ from the world in. Now, what are some of the things? Now, you listen. His language will be different. When God saves you, do you know he gives you a different language? He gives you a heaven-born language. Gives you a spiritual language. It's not of the world. It's of the Lord. We read in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation, which means your conduct, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Also 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Open your heart wide unto us this morning. Listen to God's word. He that is of God heareth God's word. But as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That doesn't mean sinless or sinless perfection. It means holy in our conversation, in our conduct, in our living. Now listen. The Christian's actions, his customs, his manners, his habits must not be like those of the unbelievers. Is your conduct like the unbeliever? You tell me you're saved. Is your conduct like the unbeliever? Do you laugh at their dirty jokes? Or you find joy in their company? In their actions? The Christian's actions, his customs, his manners, his habits must not be like those of unbelievers. You may ask, well, how should the Christian dress? This has to do with his conduct, his separation from the world. All right, their dress will be simple and chaste. Simple and chaste. Not elaborate. decorate a whole lot of stuff on you, and luxuriously dressed, and you can't put enough on you. Simple and chaste, not elaborate or artificial. I got to thinking about that word, artificial. Of course, I'm not pointing any individual out, but I imagine there's lots of people that puts a lot of artificial on them to hide many defects, many things. And I got tickled. I got a little tickled about that. In other words, be yourself as a Christian. Dress plain. And sometimes you take a lady, may put a whole lot of makeup and stuff on her face, maybe about an inch thick, and you really don't know what she looks like. That's artificial. You can only know that individual as they scrape it off, or maybe, I have nothing against powder and rouge and all, that's nice. But plain. Just be yourself. Be plain as a Christian. Artificial eyelashes, that all has a whole lot to do with all of that. Put a lot of artificial stuff on you. And many times it's better for us to let nature take its course. And be plain in our overall conduct, our conversation, our dress. Our tongue should never be used to slander or lie. To me, I don't believe a Christian would go about deliberately lying on anyone. They will not deliberately lie. I found that so since the Lord has saved me, the Holy Spirit indwells me, and many times He corrects me about many things. He'll quit that tongue. And instead of me using it for slander or for lying, I'll use it for edification. I'll use it to show mercy and compassion. I'll try to use it as an understanding tongue, and not to use it to spread lies or to spread slander. Or it shouldn't be used in foolish talking and jesting, joking foolishly, in jesting foolishly. The tongue is a little thing, but oh, what a world of iniquity, huh? What a world of iniquity. That's why I don't listen to many things that somebody might come tell me about some other person. If I can't trust the Lord and trust His grace, and know that He's on the throne, well, then I'd just sooner give up. Because the tongue is fuel for the fire, I tell you. All right? Our prayer, what should be our prayer then for our tongue? Psalms 119:29. You might be interested. You might have not known it was there. Remove from me the way of lying. Now that's David speaking there. And he was a Christian, a born-again believer. Remove from me the way of lying. If you lie, lie no more. If you steal, steal no more. All right, instead of cursing, there should come forth blessings, like James 3:10 tells us. Instead of using our tongue for cursing, there should come forth blessings. Instead of our tongue being a fountain sending forth bitter water, it should be used as a fountain sending forth sweet water. And you find that in James 3:11. Bitterness, wrath, hatred, malice, lying, stealing, cursing and so forth might be the custom of the world, but the born-again believer is going to shrink from them. Do you know that? He will abhor such customs. He cannot be conformed to them. But he is being transformed in his mind, in his heart, by the word of God. Be ye transformed, he tells us, and not be conformed. Just to be separate from these things is not enough. Now, you may not even curse. You may not even lie. You may not even slander. You may not even hold bitterness in your heart or jealousy. You may not even do any of these things. And your conduct, as far as the world is concerned, is one of good behavior. But just to be separate from these things is not enough. What does the word tell us? What does these scriptures tell us that we read earlier here? All right. We are called upon to be separated unto Christ. Now, a lot of people have given up their habits. They've given up their smoking and their drinking and their cursing and their lying, and that's all, and thinking that was enough. Well, if I give up my cigarettes, I'll go to heaven. Or if I give up my drinking, I'll go to heaven. Or if I give up my cursing or my lying or my stealing, I'll go to heaven. I'll try to be a good boy or a good girl or a good man or a good woman. But that's not enough. That's trying to get to heaven by your own works, by your own doings. But the gospel tells us, the word of God tells us to be separate unto Christ. It tells us to put on Christ. Dress up in the glorious gospel of Christ. We are called upon to be separated unto Christ, not unto just a religious sect like so many have. They don't like this place. They go to another place. They join themselves from one to another, and that's what they have. It's just a lot of religion. Once I was a Catholic, now I'm a Baptist. Once I was a Baptist, now I joined the Catholic Church, or I joined the Methodist Church. They've separated themselves. But you'll never hear him talking about, I've been separated unto Christ. Listen, the gospel separates you unto Christ. Not unto just a religious sect, not unto self-righteousness. How many of our people have separated themselves from sins and become self-righteous and scorn and look down on the other individual? That's not the grace of God. That's not the compassion of Christ. A believer doesn't look down on sinners, scorn them. They show compassion and mercy. Our Lord was separate from sinners, but he showed mercy and compassion towards them. He looked upon Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if he only knew who it was that was among you. How oft I would have gathered you like a hen gathered her young, but you would not. That's compassion. How often have I preached unto you Christ, and you will not receive him? How often have I asked you and preached unto you to be separate and come and enjoy the Lord and find your strength and your hope and your comfort in the Lord? You would not. Yes, not unto self-righteousness. There is a righteousness that seemeth right unto man, but that is the way of death. I'm talking to you about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus this morning, to be separated unto him. Unless you know the grace of God in your heart, you know nothing of being separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called upon to be separated unto a rejected, crucified, despised Christ. The world has rejected him. The unsaved religiousness have rejected him. We are to be acquainted with him, with his sorrows, and with his sufferings. Now that's the call to separation unto Christ. Be acquainted with the ridicule. They ridiculed him. They called him all manners of names. Let's be acquainted with the name calling. Let's be acquainted with his sufferings and with his sorrows. We are called upon to go forth, therefore unto him without the camp. Sinner, that means you go outside of the city. Go outside there. That means debt. Debt unto you as far as you're concerned and your acquaintances with the world. As far as your self-righteousness, it's debt unto your self-righteousness. Let us go therefore unto him and be acquainted with his sufferings and with his sorrows. That's what it means to be separated unto him, bearing his reproach. They may call us fanatics, but let me be a fanatic for Christ's sake. Yes, sirree. Let me be a fanatic for Christ's sake. I will be a fanatic for Christ's sake. If we know Christ and his redeeming blood, what does it matter what they call us, huh? What does it matter what they say about us? Take our Lord. Look at all the ridicule and everything they heaped upon him. They called him a winebibber. They called him the son of a harlot, to their own damnation. And they still do it today, to their own damnation. We are called upon to take sides with Christ in this day of materialism and scoffing. They may jest and jeer at us because of what we believe to be truth. But praise God, there's no better time than now to show our allegiance to Christ. Now you get that. If you tell me you know the Lord, there's no better time than now for you to show your allegiance unto the Lord Jesus Christ and to be separated unto him. I believe that with all my heart. I'm separated unto the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called upon to be separated unto Christ. If you tell me that the Lord Jesus Christ is a true friend unto you, you are going to defend his name when everyone seems to be raging against him. You're going to hold that name precious unto you. You're going to exalt that name everywhere you go. You're going to boast of that name. My boasting is in Christ. Let the world boast what they have. Let them rage. Let them drag our precious Lord's name in the dust. But we'll uphold it. We'll uphold it. That name is a sanctified name unto me. It's a holy name. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Do you know that? And God is not going to hold the individual guiltless that profanes the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a precious name unto me. When we come to the house of the Lord to worship, as we come here this morning. Oh, we sing praises unto our Lord. And we can be sure there'll be no one here that will raise up and rise up against us. But you may look upon it as a self-denial. But do you know, here in this place here where we worship, where we sing praises, it doesn't cost us a whole lot of thing, a lot. There's no self-denial there, because there's no one here to interrupt the service. But let me tell you something. What about on your job and among working men and women on the outside, among those who fear not the Lord? What about them? Are you still able by the grace of God to be separate unto Christ on your job? I know I worked 22 years for the newspaper, and you can't tell me it cannot be done. And like the pastor often said, you could show your colors, your true colors, if any place, if any city, right here in the city of New Orleans. You can live the best Christian life because you have so much against you. Now that might sound like a contradictory, huh? And like someone was telling me, I think, about the place their work, I said, look, God put you there for a reason. Oh, many times I would have loved to have left my work because of many of the conditions there. But the Lord just changed my mind and my heart. And I wouldn't give anything in exchange for those 22 years that the Lord kept me there and taught me about His grace. Taught me the preciousness of Christ, and that I could worship Him right on the job in the midst of all the ungodliness and worldliness there. That's where the Lord taught me. Now, why am I able to stand up here and tell you many things? It's because I know that no matter where you work, you could be a true Christian, and it's the best place in the world to show your true colors. Are you still able by the grace of God to be separate to Christ? To cleave to Christ? Where they drag His precious name in the dust? Where He is scoffed at and despised and rejected? Yes, I've had to listen to that. But that strengthened me all that much more. That gave me all that much more boldness just to praise my Lord and rejoice in what He's done, because one time I was like them. And it's only the grace of God that's made me the difference. That's all that matters this morning, is the grace of God that's making me to differ. But I can have mercy and compassion upon them. Now, this is the test of a true Christian who is separated unto Christ. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The promise is, I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And let me tell you what a father He's been to me. What a father who cares, who loves me, who knows all about me, who undertakes for me. Yes, that's exactly true what He says in His word. He tells us, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. With Him there's nothing to fear. If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord. If God can be for us, who can be against us? If God be for me, the battle is not ours, it is the Lord's. And we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are called upon to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not in vain in the Lord, no matter where you are. And we're glad to have Brother and Mrs. James Little with us from North Carolina and their family. And we were talking yesterday evening. I said, you never know why the Lord has put you up there in the witness among the people, and how some are listening. Yes, He's gone through battles. He will go through battles. But He's witnessing. He's telling of the grace of God that got a hold of him. And some are listening. And I enjoyed talking with him yesterday evening. It was refreshing to my heart. And if you haven't met him and his family, after service, meet them. They're right down here, Brother and Mrs. Little and their little flock. And so, to you in Radio Land, it was good to be with you this morning. How this hour has gone, these 2 hours, gone by fleeting rapidly as time is fleeting from us. But praise God that I'm on Christ and in him, and I know his mercy. And my prayer is that you will come to know him. Open your heart wide unto him. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Be ye separate unto Christ. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. And turn your hearts unto him. In his name I pray and ask it. Amen. There's no more I can say than I have already said. My message was one of pleading towards you. It was one of admonition. If you tell me you know the Lord, you know Christ, there's no better time than now to show your colors and to be separated unto our Lord. And he'll become a living reality in your heart. And he'll be a father unto you. And you're going to be his sons and daughters as according to his promise. According to promise. The command is to come out. The admonition is to come out. And the promise is, I'll be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. Just think, I'm a son of the Heavenly Father. I'm a child of the King. And I rejoice in that. That's the greatest privilege that can come, that can happen to any individual in this world. He's my strength. He's my power. He undertakes for me. In my feebleness, I praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord for Christ this morning. Can't you praise him? Don't you want to know Christ after I've talked to you about him and told you so much about it? Oh, that the Holy Spirit would have projected him into your heart this morning and your desires. I want to know Christ. I want to know him. Then what I'm going to do if I want to know him? I'll be taken up with him. I'll search the scriptures. I'll meditate upon his word. For in it, it is written of me. It tells you of Christ. And you'll find him in his word. He'll speak to your heart by his spirit. And he'll make a new creation out of you. Old things will become new. And you'll be so amazed. You know, I just praise the Lord that we can point sinners unto Christ and unto his word. You find your faith and your hope and your satisfaction in Christ as is revealed through the word of God. Where is the foundation your faith resting upon? Feelings? Reasoning? It should be upon the word of God. As many of you know, I don't know how many do know, Brother Borrell, as we've known him through the years, Leo Borrell, he passed away. He passed away just a couple of days ago. We buried him yesterday, had the funeral here. And a statement he made to me, on the back steps, after the service, like the 11 o'clock service, I talked with him. He made this statement to me. He said, if what that man said this morning, what he said is true, I'm lost. He's been on the profession for years. He wasn't satisfied. I knew there was something wrong with him. But it took God's Holy Spirit that one morning to take the word, make it effectual to his heart. And he told me afterwards at the service, he said, what that man said is true, I'm a lost sinner.
I said, praise God, Brother Borrell, that God has showed you this after so long a time that you've been on profession. I said, isn't that grace? Now you know he wants to save you. He says, pray for me, will you? I want to know Christ. Pray for me that I'll get right with God. I said, I'll do that. But he has been slowly going down, as every one of us know, his health, losing his strength. He had one lung removed. He had cancer in it. He had cancer in the other lung. And I found he had a good case of this emphysema. And so he died the other day. But I remember some weeks ago, met him back on the fountain back there, and I said, how is it with you, Brother Borrell? I don't know. He says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. He says, seems like everything's gone wrong. Seems like I don't know what's what. I said, Brother Borrell, will you look to the Lord? Will you plead the blood of the Son of God? Will you plead the blood? Plead for his mercy? And all he could say was, oh, I'll do that. But I haven't spoken to him since then. Now, whether he's gone home, whether the Lord plucked him as a brand from the fiery furnace, I don't know. But somehow down deep in my heart, I believe he's with the Lord. I don't know. We can look on the outward appearance of man, but we do not know the heart. God knows the heart. And I can just look on the outward appearance, and I can only say, I hope so. I hope he's there. And I appreciated his sons. He had four sons, four grown, healthy sons, big men, and how they wanted the funeral service here in this chapel, in this tabernacle. How they remember that when he was hit by the streetcar across the river that Sunday, he was on his way over here. His desire was he wanted to be in the services. And they thought it was good and obligingly that he would have his last remains in the church right here, the services here. And I thought that was wonderful of their son. And God gave me a message yesterday morning for them. I don't know how many we had here, a nice little group, but everyone listened. God held their ears, and they just heard the message. Will they ever hear another one? I don't know. But God gave me the occasion to preach Christ and that hope of glory that I spoke about, that I knew. It's on tape. I didn't know they put it on tape, but they got it on tape, and I praise the Lord for it if you want to hear it. But I'm glad you came this morning. And I know God's dealt with your heart as he's dealt with mine and with those out in radio land. And I'm going to dismiss you now. And may God's richest blessings rest upon you and his grace rest upon you. Let's stand. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this group this morning. We thank thee for thy grace that we find is sufficient for every need for the sinner, every need for the believer. And our dear Heavenly Father, lay hold of hearts here this morning and throughout radio land, and may they not get away from the messages that have been already delivered from the early morning broadcast until on through this service here tonight, this morning. And Father, bring us back tonight with grace in our hearts, looking forward to another message and another blessing. And bless the services of all the missions. We pray for our mission leaders that you'll bless the services tonight in all the missions. May thy great grace rest upon them. For Christ's sake, we ask and pray it. Amen.